If you brought your Bible with you this morning, turn with me to Job chapter 37. So Job is right. If you can find Psalm and Proverbs, it's right before Psalm. So flip to Job chapter 37. And if you've been coming here long enough, your Bible might just fall open to Job now. So So I also think the way I preach, I kind of go verse by verse a little bit. It might be a little bit different today, but I mean, I do go through all the verses. So if you have your Bible in front of you or a phone, it does help to just read along as I read. And for those who are new to our church goes through a book of the Bible, chapter by chapter. So we've been going through Job now for 37 weeks. So that might feel like it's been more like 2 years, but it has been amazing just to see what God has been doing in Job. And it's like, as I was pulling this together, and you start getting into the Word, and I mean, the first time I read, like Seth gives us probably a 6-month notice on what we're preaching and when, but so I read Job 37, and it's like, I don't know what I can find in there to preach on, and so then you read it again, and I'm like, I still have no idea, but it's just amazing what God does with Job. It's like, as I've been in it over the last 2 or 3 weeks, even as they were singing one of those songs, I was like, or as John was reading that first verse, it's like, the listen, like, I was like, I think you could get a sermon out of that, which I kind of hit on that a little bit, but just when you're in God's Word, it just, like, it's going through your head, you're thinking about it, you start living and breathing it, and that's what has been great about going through Job, is what God does. I mean, I've never been through Job before, and it's like, every week there's something new, something to apply in our lives, and so this week we find ourselves in chapter 37, but before we jump into that, I'm going to do a brief recap. Now, I'm a finance guy, so I do finance and accounting, mainly finance, but so I do everything in Microsoft Excel. So the last time I was preparing to preach Job 13, and this time, like, I had to put Job into Microsoft Excel to make it make sense. So that's what this is. So we have the intro here, the first 3 chapters, so everything in blue is Job speaking, and then we had round 1, round 2, round 3 of Job and his, so we had 3 rounds of Job's 3 friends going through it. So there's, I think it's 28 chapters here of Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar going through. So these are the 3 rounds. And then we get over here to chapters 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37 today of Elihu speaking. And then next week we get into where God finally speaks. And so that kind of helps me wrap my head around like what's going on and things. So I put that in Excel last time and then I brought it back out this time to make like, get my head wrapped around where we've been and what we've been talking about. So so for Elihu, I'll do a little recap on Elihu the last 5 weeks. So chapter 32, we were introduced to Elihu and find out he's the youngest of Job's friends. And he had kind of waited patiently to take his turn, and now he just wants Job's full attention. So that's, I need you guys this morning. I need your full attention this morning. So he wanted Job's full attention. And Seth covered that there's, one of the things Seth covered was there's a time to listen and a time to talk. And when somebody is suffering, they don't need you to speak up. They need God to speak up. And that's what's going to happen next week. Chapter 33, Jeremy covered, and he described where God is God and we are not. God is God and we are not. And that while we might not hear directly from God, God speaks to us in different ways. And so Jeremy covered chapter 33. Then we were back with Seth on 34, and he covered the importance of discernment. And do you have a biblical mindset and a fruitful life, or an unbiblical mindset and an unfruitful life? And then 2 weeks ago, Corey hit the importance of our response to trials and tribulations that come through way of God's providence. And then last week in Brad's sermon, he hit on the importance of shifting the focus from ourselves and our difficult circumstances to God who is mighty and powerful. So I did read one commentary that kind of first, like, there didn't even really need to be a break in between chapters 36 and 37, so I was going to try to use that to get out of preaching. So may I just have Brad do both those combined. But there didn't really need to be a chapter break. There kind of flows continuous. But there is a lot to learn out of chapter 37. So with that, let's pray and we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord, and we just give this time to you, Lord. We've all come here for a reason, for a purpose. You brought us here this morning, Lord. Just pray that you would open hearts and minds to hear what you have to say, Lord. Allow me just to get out of the way. Just let people hear what you would have to say through your word, Lord. That it's your word that speaks. It's your word that changes hearts. It's your word that does the work. And we just lift up Job chapter 37 to you this morning, Lord. And we just ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I think I'm done with the Excel. All right, so we're going to have three divisions as we go through it this morning. So the first one is verses 1 through 5, thunder and lightning. So verses 1 through 5, thunder and lightning. So with your Bibles open, if you want to follow along, I'll read the first five verses. At this also my heart trembles and leaps out of its place. Keep listening to the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth. Under the whole heaven he lets it go, and his lightning to the corners of the earth. After it his voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice, and he does not restrain the lightning when his voice is heard. God thunders wondrously with his voice. He does great things we cannot comprehend. So here, Elihu is trying to direct Job's attention to the wonder of nature. And he's describing thunder and lightning, how they fill the sky with awe-inspiring displays. So he's speaking that God has control over nature. He's explaining that God's voice can be heard in the thunder, and when he describes it, as a magnificent or unsearchable sound. So in Elihu's speech in these verses underscores the idea that God's power and wisdom are evident in the natural world. He urges Job to recognize God's majesty and might and to submit to his authority and wisdom. So this is, Job has gone through all these struggles, and Elihu is trying to point out that through the thunder and lightning, you can see God's power. And so this passage is part of Elihu's attempt to convey to Job that God's ways are beyond human understanding and that Job should approach his suffering with humility and reverence. So God can get our attention pretty easily through thunder and lightning. So sometimes you see thunder and lightning off in the distance, or you see lightning off in the distance and you don't hear the thunder. And so like yesterday, we're at cross country meet and we had like a 3-hour lightning delay because there was lightning in the area, which you could kind of see, but you almost rarely we were hearing it. But so sometimes you see thunder and lightning off in the distance and you almost don't even react. I mean, we didn't even really know what was going on. But there are some times when you see a bolt of lightning and then hear it instantly, and it kind of startles you. Like it'll get your attention. And so that just reminded me of something that happened to Sloan and I probably 15 years ago now. But we used to live in a house right back here behind the Sonic. And we were just woke in the middle of the night by just this loud, huge, loud clap of thunder or whatever. And so and there wasn't really a storm. I remember, I don't even think it rained. We just were woken by this loud clap of thunder. And so it startled us. We kind of looked at each other. Then we went back to bed. Then the next morning, I'm up, and I think I was getting coffee. And our back window, our where our kitchen sink is, the window looked out on the backyard, and we had three probably 25-year-old maple trees back there, big trees, and one of them was missing all the bark. So it was just the most bizarre thing. So what happened was the tree got struck by lightning, and normally, when a lightning hits a tree, it finds a seam and makes its way down to the ground, and it dissipates in the ground. It just finds a seam, goes down. But I've never heard of this before or since. But what happened to this tree, because the arborist told me, so I'm not making this up. But the lightning bolt hit the tree, and it got underneath the bark, or kind of underneath the bark, and then it's spun in a circle, and it spins until it hits the ground. So it spins, everything gets so hot in there because it's going so fast, it heats up all that moisture in there and just explodes the bark. So I had bark in every direction, 30, 40 feet. And that just reminded me, I mean, it's so bizarre. Has anyone ever seen that happen to a tree? Yeah, it was so bizarre. I that was crazy. But he said the tree's dead at that point too, because I thought it might still be alive. But he's like, no, your tree's dead. But so that just goes to show you like the power of lightning and what it can do. So thunder and lightning, it can get our attention. God can do great things with it. And, you know, it can do things that can cause destruction, like it did kill that tree, or it can catch things on fire, but it can also do, you know, it can do great things too. It can water the earth and things like that. So, but the point of this is, when was the last time you heard God speaking into your life? That's what Elihu is saying here, is that the thunder and lightning is God speaking into your life. It's like what that NIV, like I'm preaching out of the ESV, but I had John read NIV because it says, listen, listen. Like it says twice, listen, listen. And when was the last time you heard God speaking into your life? And then that just brings me to the question is, what are you doing to hear God speaking into your life? So what are you doing to hear God speaking into your life? So, well, I'm glad you asked. So, yeah, so I'm so glad you guys asked. So I'll give you a few things this morning. So this is like maybe Christianity 101 type stuff, but you need to be in God's word daily. Are you in God's word every day? Or do you sometimes wonder why God is silent in your life? Or is there anyone you've ever talked to that's in the word every day, in consistent prayer, and they say, yeah, God just doesn't speak to me? No, it's like people who are in the word, they're in prayer, they hear God speaking to them. And I just think like this is like pulling this sermon together is convicting to myself, because I'm not that. Like, I'm not in the word daily like I need to be. I'm not in prayer like I need to be. And it's like, I have been for the last 2 or 3 weeks as I'm going through this. And it's like, it's just amazing how this sermon's just going through my head, and I find application for it, or I find something I can use to talk to somebody. So it's just amazing. When you're in God's word, it's like he'll use that. And so are you in God's word on a consistent basis? Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you're not in God's word, what's lighting your path? What is lighting your path? John 12, 35 says, whoever walks in the dark does not know where he's going. So are you walking in the dark, or are you walking in the light? And then what is that light? What's illuminating your path? Is it God's word, or is it something else? The other thing is to be in prayer daily, to make it a priority. Are you setting aside time to be intentional? Are you in the word daily, and are you in prayer daily? And Seth brought up, I'm pretty sure this was Seth, where there is no prayer, there is no power. Was that a Seth sermon from a few weeks ago? I think Seth said, where there is no power, there is no prayer, or vice versa. But it's like that, like prayer is power. Are you in prayer every day? So 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. So he hears us. It's like in the morning and the evening and at noon, all day, and he hears us. God hears our voice. God's word is telling us he hears us. God's personal. He knows us. He hears our voice. Psalm 88:1, O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. So be in prayer daily and throughout the day. The other one is to be in fellowship with other believers. So you making church, everybody here has made church a priority this morning, and that's great. And you do need to be in fellowship with other believers. So a verse that we all probably know and was the easy one to go grab was Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us not consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. So be in fellowship with other believers. So for kids, like you guys, we're all here on Sunday mornings, so that's good fellowship. But for kids, high school, middle school kids, what's that mean for you guys? It's like, I think one easy thing, I'm talking really fast. That's funny, I caught myself. So but John set me up for that one. Yeah. So, but for kids, one thing is this easy is like, I know the DeSoto Middle School and High School have Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Like, you can go to those things, at least see like who the Christians are, or, you know, who the good kids are or whatever. It's like, there's things you can be doing to fellowship with kids in the school setting too. And Luke is off at K-State, and he went and got plugged in Christian Challenge and student mobilization, STUMO. So there's, when you're off to college, there's different things you can do, but it's like, what are you doing to create that fellowship? And I just thought, as I was going through this, I might have used this in Sunday school recently, but I was just thinking about my own career, because I've been thinking about my own career a lot lately. But I was thinking about my own career and the different places I've worked, because I had to do like a little introduction of myself this week. I work at Hostess, and we're getting acquired by Smuckers, so all the Smuckers people were in town. So I was telling them I've worked at Payless, and I've worked at Hallmark and Bats and Russell Stover. It's kind of doing like a 2-minute overview, but when I got to thinking about the places I've worked, like I worked at Payless 2 years. The only person I keep in contact with is this guy Jeff Emmert, who was my first boss there. Great Christian guy. We used to have spiritual conversations, and all the other people I worked with for 2 years, don't talk to any of them, but I'll talk to Jeff and keep up with his family and all that type of stuff. And when I think, I worked at Hallmark for 14 years, so 14 years of my life given to greeting cards, and there's three guys I keep in touch with, Kirk Creason, Dave Abramson, and Frank Masterson. And I have a spiritual connection with all of them. They're all good Christian guys. We used to have spiritual conversations, and I still keep in touch with them. But like all my people who worked for me, people I worked for, I mean, I don't still keep in touch with. But it's like you just have that spiritual connection. It's just that having the fellowship here is good, but even in your work setting or your school setting, that's good too. And so and it's, even when I was at Bats for 4 years and Russell Stover for two, it's the same thing. The people I keep in touch with are the people I have spiritual connection with, not like an Excel connection. So that's one. And I think I got ahead of my notes. And then the last one is, so be in the Word daily, be in prayer daily, fellowship with other believers, and then just worship. So I probably wouldn't have put this on there, but Sloan's brother, Scott, is a preacher. And he has a podcast that he's been doing. So this is a blessing to hear his podcast on a weekly basis because he's not actually preaching right now. But he is a preacher, but he doesn't have a church. So he has a podcast. So we can listen to it. So when he was preaching, I could never hear his messages, but now I can. So I listen to his podcast every week, and he always has good things to say. But he said something, he was doing something on like a cultural topic on just music the other day. And so somebody would ask him a question about, I think, I don't even know who the singer was because I didn't recognize his name either. But he didn't know the name. He had to go look it up and figure it out. But he's like, the point is, which none of that was in my notes, but the point is that he said, I don't listen to music that doesn't refresh my soul. He's like, I'm not listening to Taylor Swift. I just listen to music that refreshes my soul. So when people ask him cultural stuff, he has no idea, so go figure it out. But it's like, that's what is kind of convicting too, is are you listening to music that refreshes your soul? It's like all these kids walk around with ear pods and things in their ears. It's like you'd love to know what they're listening to, but I mean, what are you letting infiltrate your mind? It's like that music is infiltrating your mind. Like I just think of even preparing for the sermons, like what had infiltrated my mind over the last 2 weeks or 2 or 3 weeks was Job 37. Like I kept thinking about it, and I kept thinking about my divisions and my three sections, and but if you let secular music infiltrate your mind, that's what will be going through your head. So what's going through your head? What's going through your head? You need to be in the Word, and you need to listen to things that refresh your soul. I like that term of just doing things that refresh your soul. So application for this section is, how is God speaking to you this morning? How is God speaking to you this morning? And what are you doing to hear God speaking into your life? What are you doing to hear it? So are you, like John read, or Carolyn actually read it, like Carolyn read early, listen. So are you listening for God? So that's the application for this first section. So verses 1-5, thunder and lightning. And then we'll move to the second section, verses 6-13, correction and love. So if you turn back to your Bibles now, we'll go through verses 6-13. So verse 6, to the snow, he says, fall on the earth. Likewise, to the downpour, his mighty downpour, he seals up the hand of every man, that men whom he made know it. Then the beasts go into their lairs and remain in their dens. From his chamber come the whirlwind and cold from the scattering winds. By the breath of God, ice is given, and the broad waters are frozen fast. He loads the thick clouds with moisture. The clouds scatter his lightning. They turn around and around by his guidance to accomplish all that he commands them in the face of the habitable world. For whether for correction or for his land or for love, he causes it to happen. So in these verses, Eli continues to emphasize the majesty as revealed in the natural world. So verse 6, he commands the snow to fall on the earth and the rain to shower down, controlling the weather and the changing seasons. Verse 8, God's power extends to the animal kingdom, including beasts of the field, which take shelter in their dens during the storms. And verses 9 and 10, God's control over the natural world can lead to the freezing waters, causing them to hold firm like they're being held up in his hand. Verses 11 and 12, God spreads out his clouds across the sky and directs them to do his bidding, including the discharge of a lightning that illuminates the earth. So God is sovereign over natural events and their purposes. So verse 13, God directs the storm whether for correction or for love. And so that's where I was going to park here, is on this for correction or for love. So for correction, God brings clouds or storms and thunders and lightning to punish or correct people. This suggests that storms or adverse weather can serve as a means of divine discipline or judgment. So it's kind of like I was talking earlier with a bolt of lightning or a thunderstorm can bring, you know, it can bring catastrophe or it can water the grass. I mean, he can do both. So for love, on the other hand, God sends the clouds to water the earth, providing essential rain that nourishes the land. The act of watering the earth is seen as a demonstration of God's love and care for his own creation. So comparing this section where God has control over nature for good and for bad, he has control over suffering for good and bad as well. So that's the whole point here. We're talking about Job and his suffering. And just like we might not fully be able to comprehend the purposes behind things like storms, we may not also understand the reasons for our own suffering. So however, trusting God's wisdom and his ultimate plan, that he can provide peace and hope even in the midst of our struggle. So in essence, this verse 13 here in chapter 37 can be applied to human suffering by fostering a perspective that acknowledges God's sovereignty, love, and potential for growth and blessings even in the midst of trials. So it's like when you're going through the struggle, can you see what God is trying to do through that? So it also encourages us to trust God's wisdom and to find ways to support and empathize with others as they're going through a struggle. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So our suffering may be beyond our own understanding, but he's saying if we acknowledge him, he'll make our path straight. So are you going through any suffering right now? Can you see the good in it, or do you only see the struggle? Application for this section is, how can you approach your suffering to grow your faith? How can you approach your suffering to grow your faith? And is your suffering causing you to run to God or run away from God? Is your suffering causing you to turn to God or to turn away? Is your suffering causing you to pray to God or to curse God? What is your reaction to the own suffering that you might be going through right now? So verses 1 through 5, thunder and lightning, verses 6 through 13, correction and love, and that brings us to the final section, stop and consider. Verse 14 through 24, stop and consider. Hear this, so I'll start at verse 14. Hear this, O Job, stop and consider the wondrous works of God. Do you know how God lays his command upon them and causes the lightning of his cloud to shine? Do you know the balancing of the clouds, the wondrous works of him who is perfect in knowledge? Verse 17, you whose garments are hot when the earth is still because of the south wind, can you, like him, spread out the skies, hard as a cast metal mirror? Teach us what we shall say to him. We cannot draw up our case because of darkness. Shall it be told him that I would speak? Did a man ever wish that he would be swallowed up? Verse 21, and no one looks on the light when it is bright in the skies, when the wind has passed and cleared them. Out of the north comes golden splendor. God is clothed with awesome majesty. Verse 23, the Almighty, we cannot find him. The Almighty, we cannot find him. He is great in power, justice, and abundant righteousness. He will not violate. Last verse, therefore men will fear him. He does not regard any who are wise in their own conceit. So we're getting to the end of chapter 37, and all of what Job is doing here is to prepare, or all of what Elihu is doing is to prepare Job to hear from God. So, but what he says here at the end parallels the words and deeds of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So, you know, whenever you're going through like a chapter like this, you're looking for what's the tie to the New Testament. And I was just, I just got, at some point when I had read and reread and reread, like I just stopped cold on this verse. It's like, the Almighty, we cannot find him. And the ESV, Elihu tells Job, the Almighty, we cannot find him. He is great in power. In the NIV, he says, the Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. So depending on translation, what he's saying is, we cannot find God, or that God is beyond our reach, or that God is not accessible or approachable. But we know that's not true. So that's what he's telling Job. We know that's not true. So what does the New Testament have to say about God being approachable or accessible or beyond our reach or we cannot find him? So I'm just going to go through, this is probably an endless list, but John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This underscores that Jesus is the exclusive means by which people can approach God. We can approach God. It's through Jesus Christ. Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Jesus invites all who are burdened to come to him and find rest. Hebrews 4:16, then let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy and grace in a time of need. This verse encourages us to approach God's throne with confidence. Not only can we approach it, we can do it with confidence because of what Christ did for us. Elihu was saying that Job can't even find God, let approach him with confidence. Through Christ, we can approach God with confidence. Romans 5:1-2, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have access through Christ to God's grace and peace, and we're standing in it. We stand in it. We have access to God through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. And this verse is emphasizing Jews and Gentiles both have access to the Father through the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy 2:5-6, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. Jesus is the mediator who brings us to God. And the last verse here, 1 John 2:1-2, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours, but also for the sins of the world. So Jesus is our advocate. He's our access. He's our advocate. And he bridges the gap in between humanity and God. So all these verses convey that Jesus Christ has made it possible for people to approach God with confidence and receive forgiveness and grace and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So application for this section is, what do you need to stop and consider? What do you need to stop and consider? If you have never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, will you stop and consider that this morning? Today is the day of salvation. The inaccessible God became accessible through Jesus Christ, and he wants to have a relationship with you. Will you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ this morning? If you want to know what that means, see myself or Pastor Seth or one of the elders, and we can talk to you after the service. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, stop and consider that today. Today is the day. If you have already placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, what do you need to stop and consider this morning? Are you living for yourself, or are you living for God? Are you setting time aside every day to be in the Word and to be in prayer? How can you reach out to someone today or this week with the word of encouragement? How can you make this week different from last week? What is keeping you from living fully for Christ? So live for Christ this week. If you leave here with anything today, it's to stop and consider. Have you made that decision for Christ? And if you haven't, talk to Seth or I. If you have, how will you live for Christ this week? So Job's counselors and friends mostly got it wrong, but occasionally they got a few things right. And still, they prepared Job to hear from God. And so next week, Seth will take chapter 38, where we'll hear directly from God after 37 weeks. So it's time. All right, with that, will you pray with me?